Greetings, friends, and welcome to another hour of joyous entertainment as we take another trip back in time to the days of vacuum tubes and transistors. I'm your host, Corey Walker, and I invite you to join me once again around the old parlor radio. Today, I'm going to feature two detective series that I haven't previously featured. First up is The Adventures of Ellery Queen. Created by cousins Fred Danney and Manfred B. Lee, Ellery Queen was a famous armchair detective. The series ran from June 18, 1939 to May 27, 1948, with several short breaks and network changes in between. A unique feature of the show was a panel of experts consisting of current news and entertainment stars who would be forced to consider the evidence before Ellery Queen revealed the final solution. Today's episode first aired at 7:30 p.m. on Saturday, July 13, 1944 on NBC and is titled The Foul Tip.
Adventures of Ellery Queen. Ellery Queen invites you to match wits with him as he relates another story of a crime he alone unravels. Before revealing the solution, he stops the play, gives you a chance to solve the mystery. Our guest tonight, who will represent you home, armchair detective, is the talented Hollywood character actor, Mr. Charles LaTour. And now, here's Ellery Queen, Master Detective.
Thank you, Ernest Chappell, and good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Tonight, we'd like to tell you about a murder that occurred right under our very noses while we calmly enjoyed a ball game. I call it The Adventure of the Foul Tip.
Evening.
Say, it was a sharp movie you just made, Mr. Ames. Here, let me open the door for you.
And look who's here. Sit down. Evening, Mr. Ames. Check your hat.
Reckon I'll hold on to it, ma'am.
Welcome to the Society Club. Shall I call Mr. Vincent?
Oh, thank you. No, I'm looking for my wife.
Irene? Yes, sir. This way, sir. Irene just finished her dance number with her partner. There he is now. Reno.
I come right away,
Edward. That fancy Dan with bear grease on his hair, that's my wife's dancing partner?
Yes, Mr. Ames. Marino, Mr. Chicken. Excuse me, Mr. Hollywood Chicken. Enchanté.
Me too. Where's my wife, Mr. Marino?
We have just finished the dance. Ah, that Irene. She's not a woman. She's a spirit. It is like dancing with a perfume breeze.
Where'll I find my wife, Mr. Marino?
In her dressing room. Here, right through this door, Mr. Ames. Mr. Ames, you must see us dance together. It will enchant you.
Thank you. Some other time, fella.
But I go in with you. You shall see us dance.
Make tracks, Mr. Marino.
You send me away?
Yeah, I do.
Lover of horses. Imbecile, amante di cavallo.
Come on, Bernie boy. So what does he say?
So Bernie says, if I didn't know you were Irene's press agent, I'd have swallowed this publicity on hook, line, and sinker. Just the same, he's running it with a two-column head in tomorrow's paper.
No.
How's that, honey?
Remind me to give you a kiss, Bernie.
You remind me to collect it.
Oh.
Well, the great Chick Ames. Well, hiya, Chick. How are you?
Evening, Mr. Bernie. Well, Irene, here's your old chick in person.
You took your sweet time. And what do you mean, sneaking in on me this way?
Well, I didn't sneak in, honey. I just opened the door.
Oh, yeah? Chicken snoops again.
Well, I guess I'll be moseying on out the bar and get a few drinks, friend. Far be it from a press agent to horn in on husband and wife.
No, Bernie, stick around.
Okay.
You're looking mighty pretty, Irene. Thought I'd get to see more of you on this vacation of mine from pictures.
Oh, slice that baloney someplace else. You know why I sent for you, Chick. You're going to say yes or aren't you?
Now, honey, if you're aiming to start up that divorce talk again...
Aiming to start up again? I didn't finish the last time, you lop-eared horse's collar.
Well, Irene, girl, you know I got a 5-year movie contract. Says I can't get into no scandal. The kids of America would be disappointed in their old chick aim.
Divorce is no scandal. chopper a girl's hitch to a stable offer in a 10-gallon hat.
Oh, now, honey, I'm real sorry you can't get to see more of me. Well, you haven't got that society fella, Mr. Vincent, to open this New York nightclub for you. You could go right back on west with me.
Riding into the sunset on your saddle horn, I suppose. No, thank you. Do I get my divorce or don't I, you great, big, beautiful movie star, you?
Hey, Irene, take it easy. Huh?
Mr. Bunny, you stay off my range.
Okay.
Irene, why do you want a divorce so powerful bad?
Because I'm in love with a man, that's why.
Well, I'm a man. Huh? Through.
None of your rootin' tootin' business.
Kind of heard rumors about that, Irene. Supposed to be a man mighty close to you, ain't he? Don't give it no mind, but now, who is he?
Oh, stop that phony cowboy hero stuff. I know you from way back, Chickamauga Ames. Tied for life to a saddle. I want a divorce.
Yeah, well, you ain't a-getting it.
Hey, now, look, Chick, how about you sort of ambling off somewhere and cooling down, huh? And Irene,
hey, you
listen.
Keep out of this, Bernie.
Now, look, you dopes, you're going to have the riot squad in here, both of you, in about
now, you
two...
look here, Chick. I
oh, Mr. Vincent, come on in. Well, quick, for the love of Mike.
What's going on in here, Bernie?
Chick Ames. Listen, Mr. Vincent, you got to help me break this up. Irene's ready to open fire. She's going to start breaking stuff in a minute.
Yeah, sure, Bernie.
Well, hello, Chick. Well, I'm delighted to see you in New York.
Huh?
Oh, evening, Mr. Benson. That's what I get. You see, I come east between pictures to see my own wife.
It's no wonder you didn't ride into Grand Central on a pack mule yodeling home on the range.
Irene, now that Chick's in town, I got a terrific plan. We'll get some great publicity.
Oh, go away.
You two ought to be seen together, aren't they, Mr. Vincent?
I should say they should, Bernie.
Now, look, here's the angle. We make up a party. There's a hot ball game at the field tomorrow.
We'll all sit
in one field box. We'll take along Marino, because he's Irene's dance partner. We'll get photographers, reporters. We'll make swell Sunday stuff. Right, Mr. Vincent?
Absolutely, Bernie. Chick, what do you say? I don't know, Mr. Vincent. I'm aggravated.
He's aggravated. I'd like to know what he's
Bernie,
up to be aggravated
sake,
about.
Take Irene aside and talk to her, will you? I'll work on it. Right. Look, Irene, come on over here.
I don't want to talk to you.
Nah, come on. Chick be a sport. Bernie's right, you know. An afternoon at the ballpark will do you both good.
Well, I don't know. I'm aggravated, Mr. Vincent.
But think of the fresh air, Chick. An outdoor man like you shouldn't be cooped up in some New York hot box. What you need is air and sun, the wind in your face.
Yeah, well... that is a fact, Mr. Vincent.
Then you'll do it?
Well, Mr. Vincent, I will.
Fine. Splendid. Bernie, Chick says he'll go.
Oh, that's great. Then we'll all meet outside the ticket booth at the field tomorrow afternoon before the game. I'll have the publicity all set up, Chick. And Irene's changed her mind, too. Haven't you, Irene, baby?
Yeah, I have changed my mind.
My Irene's a mighty sweet gal.
Whose idea was this anyway, a jam like this? Manuel, here we are over here.
Very fancy, Dan. Oh, I'm so sorry to be late. Irene, may I kiss your hand? You are exquisite today.
Oh, cut it out, Manuel. Bernie, where's Vinny?
Vincent will be here. Let us through, Rube.
But, Bernie, where are all the photographers?
Don't worry, handsome. You'll get mugged inside. Hitch it. I'll go first in the line.
Oh, well, that's right friendly of you, Mr. Bernie, but I reckon Chick Ames can afford a few baseball tickets.
Nothing doing. Let me hit that window, Chick.
Bernie, it's a wonder you didn't get reserved seats in advance, making me stand on a line. I don't see you fighting to get to the ticket window first, Manuel.
When two Bulgarians argue over mere money, my beautiful, Manuel Merino looks on with scorn.
Yes. Oh, there's Vincent inside the gate. Hey, Vinny!
Hey, Mr. Vincent! Howdy!
Oh, hello there. Here, Bernie, don't buy any tickets.
Huh?
I'm just for them. Okay. Let these people through the gate, will you please? Here you are, tickets for box 13.
All right, this way, people. Boy, block a scorecard and pencil there.
Yes, sir. I'm ready.
Now, folks, be nice now. I'm just seeing a ball game. No autographs.
Did you hear what Mr. Ames said? No autographs. Now, one side. Come on, Marino, stick a leg.
Who wants to get the publicity today? A cowboy or Marino and Irene, huh?
Oh, nuts. Mr. Vincent, which box was it again?
Box 13, Bernie. All right, here this way, Irene.
Box number 13. Hey, that's an unlucky number.
And there, ladies and gentlemen, you have the beginning of our mystery.
When the number 13 crops up, something's bound to happen. And before anything else happens, here's a number by Paul LaValle and his orchestra. now back to our story. It's a little later at the third base field boxes of a jammed ballpark. A typical New York Sunday crowd is watching fielding practice.
Box 14.
Here you are, Mr. Queen.
Thanks, Hutcher.
Yeah.
Oh, thank you, Mr. Queen.
Mickey, sit here. Dad.
Well, it was a good idea to come to the ball game today.
Fine,
Inspector,
yeah.
You look younger already.
Yes, man. Well, Beanie, you still think that punk team of yours is going to win today?
Thanks. Say, I'm to sure, Inspector, with Clobber pitching, I've got four bits as they don't score two earned runs off.
You're on, sucker.
Well, what's the score for? Well, what's the lineup? Oh, see that kill?
Well, bonk, Inspector. You see Mac crack that ball to deep center field. They'll murder those bush leaguers of yours today.
Ah, they all look like Babe Ruth and practice.
Come on, smile, chick. Put your arm around him, Irene.
Okay.
Oh, wait, anyway, look at those photographers.
Ellery, if the movie starts, the phone's in the next box. That girl, Irene, that's his wife. Oh, there's Mr. Vincent. He's a millionaire society man who opened a nightclub for us.
Oh, who cares? Come on, play ball.
Sure, play ball.
Yeah,
come on.
Ellery, they're the ones we saw outside the ticket booth, remember? They say Irene's been trying to get a divorce from Mr. Payne for a year, but he won't give her one. She's in love. Some people say with Mr. Vincent, though one commoner says it might be Bernie or Presse.
Nikki, I'm in love, too, with a ball game this afternoon. Practice is over.
Grab it, they're leaving the field. We missed the practice.
What is this? A ball game or a personal appearance by that He-Man of Hollywood?
Look at those fans fight to get his autograph.
Now, one at a time, please. Mr. Ames, do you want an autograph for these people?
Well, I'll take just six.
Usher?
Check mine.
Now, Mr. Ames says to take just six.
No more.
Please, don't.
I don't think Mrs. Ames enjoys her husband's popularity very much. Judging from the expression on her face.
Maybe they should be seeing a ball game together. She's kind of... but what do I care? Play ball!
Beautiful woman, that Irene.
Brother, you ain't exaggerating.
All right, now that's all. Mr. Ames said six and he's given six. Now stand back, will you? Everybody
please,
back.
Please, get away from Mr. Ames' box, you.
Sorry.
Ellery, take a look at that hombre coming toward box 13.
A cowboy with a guitar.
He's handsome.
Where? For the love. What baseball coming to, anyway?
Arizona! Yeah!
Bull-legged
coyote.
Hi, Arizona.
I reckon you remember my wife here, Irene, huh?
I reckon I couldn't forget her, chick. Howdy, ma'am.
Hello, Arizona. Long time no see, sir. Come and sit by me, sugar.
Oh, thank you, ma'am. I've been traveling around chick here, sort of keeping cheerful, you know, me and my guitar.
How'd you find my box, Arizona?
Just followed the herd, chick. Knowed you'd be where the autograph mavericks was sick.
Ha ha, you old fat man. Arizona, shake hands with these folks.
I remember. That's Arizona Yankee, ain't it? Chick pays Arizona a salary to play the guitar for him when he's feeling low. Well, he does.
Oh, I'm feeling powerful off my feet, Arizona. Sing me one of them sad songs of yours, will you?
Reckon I will.
He's going to sing here.
Oh, that's mighty pretty, Arizona. Yes, sir.
Mighty pretty.
Bernie, this is humiliating. I'm not going to sit in this box and be made a fool of. Look, they're going to snap his picture.
Oh, Irene, this is great stuff for the
fans. Now what, Mickey?
It's Chick Ames, Ellery. He fell out of his seat. He's sick or something.
Get back in the middle, will you? Chick, we're having to take some
help. We better have a squint at this, baby. One shot, please.
Get out of the
way. He's in a bad way. He's got to send you to the clubhouse. Call a doctor, somebody. Baby. Turn these people away.
Come on, one side, Reverend. That's fast.
All right, take him out.
Easy now. Ellery, do you suppose anything is really wrong?
You mean foul play, Nikki?
Well, considering the setup.
That is a possibility. Nikki, I came here to see a ball game, and by the babe, I'm seeing it.
Come on, you bum, play ball!
Back in the clubhouse. My scorer. How's she going? How's my four bid back? Oh, look at that scoreboard. Strike.
Oh, my God.
Yes, he's got it, Sergeant, but it's only the fifth inning.
Thanks to that bomb, Carver, he can't hit the deck.
But, Sergeant, what about Chick Ames?
Oh, check that.
See, I struck the bomb.
Dead.
Oh, Lord. it. He was of a natural death.
No poison. Doctors just examined him. Chick was bumped. Now watch this guy, Clarver. He likes him down the alley.
Murder. Ellie, what did you
Conspiracy. Well, well, Sergeant, let's have the details.
Poison through the mouth, but Chick didn't eat or drink anything for an hour. And the doctor says it was quick poison, so the inspector figures he took the stuff right here in the field box.
Check your accuracy, Sergeant.
Oh, gee, what on earth?
He's climbing onto his chair.
Your attention, please. See this roll of bills? I'll give $5 for every autograph Chick Ames signed in box 13 there before this game. Five genuine American bucks, gentlemen. Come and get it.
Mike, are you gone? Knock.
Hi, now. One at a time. Don't crowd. Let's see it. Yes, there's one. Here's your five. Now, let's see that autograph, please. Mm-hmm. Here's your $5. All right, now.
There
you are.
What's going on here? Hey, listen, Mr. Queen, I'm sorry, but you can't start a riot.
Oh, the usher. Stand by, usher. Anybody else? There should be one other autograph. What are you doing,
sir? We signed back Chick's autograph.
That's sunstroke, Inspector. Call the wagon.
Oh, shut up, Dealey.
Son, what's the idea?
Dealey says Ames was poisoned by mouth, hadn't eaten or drunk anything recently, and happened right here in box 13. So it's obvious Ames must have been poisoned by one of the pencils an autograph hound handed in to write with.
Now, what a defense.
Yes, sir. Ames is notorious for his habit of sucking the point of a pencil. Lord knows it's been publicized enough. He sucked every pencil offered him before he scrawled his name.
One of the pencils had a poison tip.
And the killer's one of those five guys who just showed up to sell back the autograph. There, you with a straw case.
No, Sergeant, no. Let those men alone. If any of the five was guilty, you don't suppose he'd be fool enough to show up to you. There were six. The sixth one stayed away.
The missing one's the killer, all right. Usher.
Yes, Dr. Queen?
What did that six palooka look like, remember?
Why, yes, sir. It was a kid, a little boy.
A what?
What a deduction, Mr. Queen. A boy.
That's that. Fly him back to the clubhouse if you want to question these people, son.
That's not that bad. The secret of Ames' death lies in the hands of that boy. We must find him. Now, Sergeant, here's what I want you to do.
Chick Ames' autograph in box 13 just before the game will kindly proceed to the clubhouse with the autograph. He will receive a genuine Chick Ames six-shooter, a genuine Chick Ames cowboy suit, and a genuine signed photo of Chick Ames. Attention, please. If the boy who got Chick Ames...
Officer.
Yes, sir, Miss Queen.
Any sign of Sergeant Dealey and that kid yet, officer?
No, sir, Miss Queen.
Officer.
Yes, sir, Miss Queen.
What's the score?
40 skunk. Favor the home team. Boy, this copper is hot.
May he fry in his own lard. No sign of Dealey and the boy yet, Dad. Carry on.
His name? How do I know you didn't slip your husband a poison pencil with your own dainty white hands, huh? He stood in your way. You're in love with another man. Chick wouldn't divorce you.
I didn't poison him. I didn't. All I know is all of a sudden he fell off his seat in the boat.
Who's this man you're in love with?
That's none of anybody's business, including the police.
Is it Mr. Vincent here? He opened that nightclub for you, Irene. He's your angel, isn't he?
No. No, I mean, it's not me.
Inspector, this is all a high-handed, isn't it?
I'll high-hand you later, Vincent.
Well, then, Irene, is it this loud-mouthed press agent of yours, Bernie?
Hey, now, wait a minute. There's nothing between Irene and me except business.
No, it's not me.
It's Manuel Marino, your dance partner.
She's lying her head off, Ellery. It's one of the men she sees constantly. It must be.
Oh, Dan, here's Sergeant Dealey with the boys.
Come on. I want to see this man's ball game, too, you know. There's your criminal, Maestro, 11 years old.
Come here, son. Don't be afraid. What's your name?
Who's afraid? My name's Montgomery, and no crap. Where's the genuine Chick Ames six-shooter, the announcer said? And the cowboy suit, and the signed picture of Chick Ames. I gotta get back to my seat.
We all do, Montgomery, but first let me have the autograph Chick Ames gave you.
Well, I got it right here on my scorecard. But how do I know this ain't the old double cross? Hey, wait! What's the idea of grabbing my pencil?
Relax, Montgomery, I never grabbed. Is this the pencil you handed Ames to autograph the scorecard with?
So what? Give me what you promised. Here's luck.
Now, Montgomery, be nice, Montgomery.
Bad. Now, let's have it as pencil.
Very faint. Enough to establish it. Pencil that poisoned Ames, all right. Sonny, where'd you get this?
Let me out of here.
Oh, now, Montgomery, come on. You answer these gentlemen's questions, and they'll let you go right back to your baseball game.
But I don't know nothing, lady. I come down to the game all by myself, and I bought a ticket, and I just got inside the gate. When a man comes over to me and says, listen, kid, you know Chick Ames? So I said, sure, everybody knows Chick Ames from the movie. So he says, well, look, Chick Ames is going to be at the game today in box 13. So you take this scorecard and pencil and get his autograph for me on account of I'm kind of bashful. Then the guy says, I'll meet you right here after the game and give you $5 for the autograph. So I got it, that's all. But I'd rather have the Chick Ames gun and stuff any day. Give me it and let me go.
What'd this man look like, Montgomery?
Oh, he was wearing a big coat and a hat pulled down over his face and dark sunglasses or something.
Wouldn't you know? Disguise. Montgomery, how about his voice? Think you'd recognize it?
Well, he kept a handkerchief over his mouth while he was talking to me. And sometimes his voice was low and sometimes squeaky. Sounded awful funny. He must have been sick. Where's my Chick Ames gun and cowboy suit?
Mr. Burney, take this boy's name and address and see that he gets what I promised him.
Sure thing, Mr. Quinn. Hey, Arizona, what are you digging me in the ribs for?
I guess that's sort of old Arizona's job, Mr. Burney. Now that old Chick's gone west for the last round. Come here, boy.
Hey, you a real cowboy? I bet you're phony. Better take my address. My name is Mike.
Imagine leaving a little boy as an instrument of a murder. Whoever that man was, he's a monster.
Disguise. Face, figure, voice. Killer's gone by now. 100 miles away.
And even if he's still in the park, how are you going to pick out one guy in a crowd of 40,000?
Just a minute. Officer.
Here's Mr. Queen.
What's the score now?
Harry.
Tied up, Mr. Queen. Four and the night coming up.
Tied up and going tonight. Thanks. I've got to talk fast if I expect to see the end of this game.
Talk fast? What do you mean?
Of course, Nicky. Dad, get these people out of here. I'll tell you the name of the person who handed Montgomery that poison pencil to give to Chick Ames. I'll tell you who really murdered Ames. And there, ladies and gentlemen, you have the mystery. Have you figured out an answer to it? Well, suppose you compare your solution with that of our guest for tonight. Nicky, introduce our guest to our home armchair detective.
Ladies and gentlemen, our guest tonight is Mr. Charles Latour, the famous Hollywood character actor. Incidentally, Mr. Latour is really an old friend of us on the Ellery Queen program, because before he went to Hollywood, he was a member of the cast on many an Ellery Queen mystery.
Charlie, it's nice to see you again. How are you?
Fine, Ellery. Couldn't be better.
That's great. You know, Charlie, it seems every time I see a picture, you're in it. Passage to Marseille, Song of Bernadette.
And he's in Harry Eight now, Ellery.
Yeah, they keep me busy, all right. 51 pictures in the last 26 months.
Charlie, I hope you haven't forgotten your old training in solving Ellery Queen mysteries.
Now, look here, Ellery. You solved the cases. I was the murderer, remember?
Okay. Well, let's try this one anyway. Charlie, who do you think gave Montgomery the poison pencil? That is, who really killed Ames?
Well, I really think Arizona did it. On the face, it would look like either the press man would do it or the proprietor not to want to lose their featured star. But I think Arizona was a bit jealous of the star boy star and he wanted to break in pictures and he scoped all this out by himself. And this was a chance and I think he did it.
Well, thank you, Mr. Latour. We'll give you the solution to tonight's mystery in just a minute.
And while you're trying to figure out your solution, here are Paul Laval and the orchestra to keep you from concentrating.
Thank you. No, don't waste time. Now, here's how it works out. The killer of Ames, that is, the one in disguise who handed Montgomery the poison tint pencil, told the kid that Chick Ames would be at the ball game and that Ames would be sitting in box 13. Question. How did the killer know that Ames was going to be at the game? Which means it was all planned before Ames got there. How did the killer know that Ames was going to sit in box 13?
That is clear. It means the murderer knew where the party would be sitting before they got to the park.
Well, who knew? Hurry.
Ames and Bernie had a friendly argument in front of the ticket windows as to who'd buy the tickets. That means Bernie didn't know in advance where they'd be sitting.
Sure. And Irene even cracked to Bernie that it was a wonder he hadn't got reserved seats in advance. That shows none of them know.
And yet, one of them did know, Sergeant. The one who gave Montgomery the pencil before the Ames party got to the park. The one who was inside the gate with the already purchased tickets when the others arrived. The only person in that park, or in the world, who knew in advance in which box Ames would be sitting.
Vincent. Vincent, to open that nightclub for Irene.
Yes. It was Vincent who arrived early in disguise, bought the tickets for box 13, accosted Montgomery, gave him the poison pencil and scorecard, instructed the boy where he'd find Ames sitting later, then simply discarded the disguise and waited for the rest of the party to show up. Motive? To free Irene so he could marry her. Now, gangway.
Ellery!
Where are you running, son?
To see the end of the ball game.
Hi, Marshal! Wait for the cop!
And there, ladies and gentlemen, you have the solution. We wish to thank Mr. Latour for being our guest armchair detective this evening.
And thank you, Ellery Queen, for solving the mystery. And now, while Paul DeValle and the orchestra are hanging around with some unplayed notes staring them in the face, let's listen to some more music. This is the Armed Forces Radio Service.
Able to solve the mystery before Ellery Queen revealed the solution? If you did, congratulations, you are officially an armchair detective. You just heard The Adventures of Ellery Queen. The episode was titled The Foul Tip and was first heard on Saturday, July 13, 1944 on NBC. Next, we're going to hear another famous detective series that I have sadly overlooked until now. The Adventures of Sam Spade Detective was based on the character created by novelist Dashiell Hammett and was originally broadcast from July 12, 1946 until September 17, 1950, with a new series running from November 17, 1950 until April 27, 1951. The original series starred Howard Duff as Sam Spade, a typical hard-boiled detective. Today's episode is titled The Apple of Eve Caper and was first heard at 8 p.m. on Sunday, June 19, 1949 on CBS. Let the mystery begin.
Sam Spade Detective Agency.
Me, sweetheart.
Sam, how importune. I was just thinking of you.
Me and who else? Both my ears were burning.
No, Sam. No. With regards to our shortage of office supplies...
Don't give it another thought, Eph. This one's going to be a short report.
Short and sweet, Sam?
Hardly, Angel. In fact, barely.
Well, Sam, if you had asked me, I could have told you.
That girl was merely trying to stir up a tempest in her boyfriend's teapot.
Again?
It was perfectly observant to me, Sam, that she had sour grapes written all over her.
Sour apples, Abby, but you're warm, and that's why I'm so fond of you.
Oh, thank you, Sam. I'm glad I could be of help, though I must confess the apples are over my head.
Well, don't feel bad about it. That's how Newton discovered the law of gravity. Stay where you are. I'll be right down to dictate my report on the Apple of Eve caper.
Dashiell Hammett, America's leading detective fiction writer and creator of Sam Spade, the hard-boiled private eye, and William Spear, radio's outstanding producer-director of mystery and crime drama, join their talents to make your hair stand on end with the adventures of Sam Spade. Presented by the makers of Wild Root Cream Oil for the hair. Remember the Romeo of yesteryear? Hair parted in the middle, all plastered down? Man, what a difference today. Today, all a guy has to do to impress a gal is use Wild Root Cream Oil Hair Tonic. Wild Root Cream Oil grooms the hair neatly and naturally, relieves dryness, and removes loose dandruff. If you are still using old-fashioned hair tonics or none at all, then for her sake, spruce up today with Wild Root Cream Oil Hair Tonic. In bottles or the handy new tube, it's again and again the choice of men who put good grooming first. And now, with Howard Duff starring as Spade, Wild Root brings to the air the greatest private detective of them all in the adventures of Sam Spade.
Sure. Why are you so nervous?
Oh, nothing, really. I'm just glad to see you, dear.
Oh, I'm glad to see
That's
you.
That's all.
Come on, out with it. What are you hiding behind your back?
Well, it's a surprise, Sam. So you just run along into your office, and I'll be right with you.
Surprise, huh? Let me think. Father's Day?
No, surely not.
Oh, no, Sam, no. It's just as regards our shortage of office supplies. I do hope you'll be able to mince your words.
What's all that junk you got stuffed in between the pages of your notebook?
Where? Well, Sam, you see, improvisation is a child of necessity, so to stretch our supplies, I just cut up some old strips of waste paper in case we run out of the genuine.
Well, very ingenious. Shall we commence?
Hmm? Yes, but not too many corrections, Sam. I'm afraid this eyebrow pencil might not last.
Well, don't bear down on it. Where was I?
No place, Sam.
Date?
I already have that, Sam.
Oh, this one goes to... Hey.
Yes, Sam?
The calendar, where is it?
Calendar? Which calendar, Sam?
You know perfectly well which calendar. It's been hanging there on the wall for 3 years. The one from Harold's Club in Reno.
Oh, that old calendar. It was out of date anyway, Sam.
That calendar was timeless.
It was not, Sam. It was vulgar.
That's a lie. I met the girl who posed for it.
In more modest circumstances, I hope.
Put it back.
Now, Sam, don't.
F, what did you do with that calendar?
You mustn't excite yourself, Sam.
Let me see that notebook.
Yes, Sam.
Uh-huh. Old waste paper, indeed. An art treasure mutilated, and for what? To serve your own base purposes. Just because you were too absent-minded to order a few office supplies.
But I frequently alluded to our dwindling resources, Sam. But no, you were too proud.
Take these and put them in a safe place. You can put it back together with scotch tape on your own time.
Oh, we're out of scotch tape, Sam.
We've got a first aid kit, haven't we?
We used to.
Use the adhesive. Date, June 19, 1949. I won't soon forget that. Two, Detective Lieutenant Dundee, Homicide Detail, San Francisco Police, from Samuel Spade, license number 137596. Subject, the Apple of Eve caper. Dear Dundee. The start of it was yesterday when Eve Adams first walked into my office. She was angry and she was terribly, terribly hurt. In fact, she had a shiner, a swollen jaw, and somebody had bitten her on the arm.
And furthermore, she had the audacity to suggest that there was something shady between I and Mr. Hagen when it is an item of public information that her and Gort Hagen was washed up practically before they started. And I might just add in passing...
Just a minute, Miss Adams. You say this girl came to your apartment in a jealous rage and attacked you without provocation.
None whatsoever. I never opened my trap to her except to remind her that it would have been a blessing to the human race if her old man had never met her old lady. And if she thought those three layers of pancake on her puss could fool a blind man as to her true age, and seeing as what her mouth was, she should never open it for fear of what might come out.
I see. And the girl's name?
Down at that flea bag where she works, she's billed as Dream of Love. And is she ever a nightmare?
Dream of Love. That's D-R-E-A-M-A?
It says there. But I do not intend to take this episode lying down on my chin, Mr. Spade. Why, if it had not been for the timely arrival of my concierge, that cheap mare would have brained me with my own gin bottle.
I see. Landlady broke it up. And you say she threatened to return with a gun and blast you if you continued seeing Mr. Hagen.
That is a fact. And she is just cheap enough to try some low trick like that.
Mm-hmm. And what do you want me to do, Miss Adams?
I want you should pay a formal call on that dame and tell her that upon the very next occasion of any violence or threats thereof out of her, I'm going to yell cop. In fact, Mrs. Spade, I am placing my life and limbs in your hands. And if you are anything of what you're cracked up to be, you will have no difficulty in giving that creepy crow the bum's rush straight out of my life.
Pardon me, Miss Adams. My secretary seems to be calling me.
Out of my way. I know who's in there, and I'm going in. Out of my way. Mrs. Spade, it's her. Keep her off. You should have hired the 4th Marines, dearie.
Now, now, ladies. Ladies, please. Break it up.
I'll show you who to get tough with. You don't call me shadows, or I'll let you have it.
Now, now, ladies, please. Now, let's talk this over calmly and sensibly.
Okay, you asked for it.
Now, ladies.
Oh!
Please.
Sam, wake up. Oh, Sam, speak to me. Sam. Sam. Sam.
Oh, no. No, 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 no. Don't hit me again. No, you're going to have the chills.
Sam. Oh, Sam, you poor darling.
Hmm? What is it? Tastes awful.
Water, Sam.
Oh. Where'd they go?
Well, they chased each other down the hall. I thought you'd gone out.
I did. What did she hit me with?
Well, she took a sap out of her purse and let fly before I could prevent it.
Yeah.
But you were still on your feet when you told me to close the door.
Fine thing. Help me up.
Yes, Sam.
Easy, easy.
Oh, when I think of you lying in here unconscious all that time while I went out to lunch.
What?
If anything had happened to you, I'd never forgive myself.
You call this nothing?
Oh, you poor, dear, brave boy. Now, you just sit down and relax. Now, the ambulance will be here any minute.
Ambulance? Don't you know these things cost money?
Oh, I'm sorry, Sam. I lost my head. When I saw you lying there all of a heap,
Forget it. What's that gadget there on the floor?
Oh, it's lipstick. It must have dropped out of her purse when she opened it for the sap.
Huh. Apple of Eve.
It's a ghost color, Sam.
Apple of Eve. Unique Garage. Harry speaking.
Spade, this is Dream of Love.
Keep your distance. Look, you left your lipstick, but don't bother to come after it. I'll mail it to you.
What kind is it?
Apple of Eve.
Sorry, I've never used it.
Good, then I won't give you another thought.
Oh, but you got to. She's dead.
Eve Adams?
Yeah. She jumped into a taxi in front of your building. I went straight after her. But I got caught in traffic where they're tearing up Market Street.
That could be anywhere between the Embarcadero and Twin Peaks. Fine alibi. What comes next?
Well, I'm at her apartment now, and she's dead.
Sam!
Hold on. Yaffe?
There's your ambulance. Shall I send them away? What shall I do
with
them?
Well, it's $10 now anyhow. I'll use it for a taxi. Hello, Miss Love?
Yeah?
Stay there and don't touch a thing. I'll be right over. Dreamer hadn't waited, if that was really where she'd called me from. Eve Adams was on the bedroom floor in front of a dressing table. There was broken glass all over the floor. The place reeked of perfume. The front of her negligee was splashed with red. I looked for the wound, but I didn't find any. Then I looked at her hands. All the nails on her left hand and two on the right were the same color as the stain on her clothing. Evidently, she'd been seated at the dressing table putting on nail polish when the murderer entered the room. The back of her head had been creased by the well-known blunt instrument, such as a heavy sap. I felt the bumps on my head and looked at the overturned nail polish bottle on the dressing table. It was called Apple of Eve.
The makers of Wild Root Cream Oil are presenting the weekly Sunday adventure of Dashiell Hammett's famous private detective, Sam Spade. Now, here's important news on good grooming. If you want the well-groomed look that helps you get ahead, socially and on the job, listen. Recently, thousands of people from coast to coast who bought Wild Root Cream Oil for the first time were asked, how does Wild Root Cream Oil compare with the hair tonic you previously used? The results were amazing. Better than 4 out of 5 who replied said they preferred Wild Root Cream Oil. Remember, non-alcoholic Wild Root Cream Oil contains lanolin. It grooms the hair naturally, relieves dryness, and removes loose, ugly dandruff. So if you want your hair to be more attractive than ever before, get the generous new 25-cent size of Wild Root Cream Oil, America's leading hair tonic, on sale at all drug and toilet goods counters. It's also available in larger economy bottles and the handy new tube. By the way, smart girls use Wild Root Cream Oil, too, and mothers say it's grand for training children's hair. Get Wild Root Cream Oil. Again and again, the choice of men and women and children, too. Now, back to the Apple of Eve caper. tonight's adventure with Sam Spade.
Second time around the murder apartment, I noticed something I hadn't caught the first time. Some smears of Apple of Eve nail polish that didn't show very distinctly against the rust-colored carpeting, but left a clear trail across the kitchen linoleum. When I opened the back door, I smelled burning cloth. There was an incinerator just outside, and from it I fished a man's shirt, partially burned. The initials in the pocket were still intact, so were the red stains under them. The initials were G.H. The stains were, you guessed it, Lieutenant Dear, Apple of Eve.
Yeah?
I'm looking for Miss Dream of Love. She home?
No, she isn't.
Thanks, I'll come in and wait.
Hey, wait a minute. You... Okay, you're in. What do you want with her?
She's in a little trouble.
You a cop?
When do you expect her back?
I don't know. What's this trouble?
She threatened to kill a woman, and now she's dead.
Who?
A girl named Eve Adams.
Why would she want to kill Evie?
The way I got it, they were locking horns over a guy named Gorse Hagen. You know him?
Yeah, and I wish I didn't.
Who is he?
He used to run a gambling ship down at Malibu till the law turned it into a bait barge. Now he calls himself a yachtsman. But if you're trying to connect him up with my sister, it's a bad connection. She hasn't seen him in years.
His idea or hers?
Hers and mine.
Then what was the beef? And who are you?
I'm her brother. Eddie's my name. And why would there be any beef between those two? Evie was my sister's best friend, and she was engaged to me.
Then this news must be quite a shock to you. You're taking it like a little soldier.
She was asking for it. I warned her. I begged her to leave town with me. But no, she couldn't sneak off like that without letting Gorse know the score. I told her he'd kill her before he'd let her go.
Mm-hmm. You live here, Eddie?
Yeah, what of it?
Where do you keep your shoes?
In a closet, kidder. Where do you keep yours? Under the bed?
Which closet? In here?
Hey, wait a minute, you...
Get your hands off me.
Let me see your warrant. Then better be good or you're going out of here on your head.
Take your hands off me, Eddie.
Let's see that warrant.
All right, I got a warrant, Eddie. Here. I didn't find what I was looking for, a pair of crepe-soled shoes with traces of Apple of Eve nail polish on them, but in one of his coat pockets I found a sales slip from a department store cosmetics counter. There were several items, but the one that interested me said, one lipstick nail polish set, Apple of Eve. About then I smelled brandy and a voice behind me said,
what happened to the kid?
Huh? Oh, he asked for my warrant.
Well, when you come to see me, I'll know better.
Your name is Gorse Hagen. I'm headed for your place right now.
What are you looking for?
A pair of shoes with crepe soles.
What do you want with my deck shoes?
I thought maybe they'd match up with this piece of a shirt with your initials on it.
Give me that.
Not so fast.
Where'd you get that?
In the incinerator at Eve Adams' place.
Well, that don't prove anything. Lots of people got the same initials. Have you talked to, George Howard?
He's alibied. He's out of town.
That proves it's a frame. I don't know any George Howard.
I thought so.
Okay, let's cut out the monkey business. Give it to me.
It's evidence.
Give it to me!
All right, I'll give it to you. I did. He gave it right back to me. I was only losing on points until I tripped over poor old Eddie and lost my balance. That's when he gave me the coup de grace. I wasn't quite unconscious, but somehow I just didn't feel like getting up. When the apartment door opened, I opened my good eye just wide enough to see Dreamer Love walk in.
Gorse, what are you doing here?
I come to help you, Dreamer.
I don't need any help from you, Gorse. I told you that 3 years ago.
Why? Did you kill her?
I don't know what you're talking about.
You killed Eve Adams. Why?
You're wrong, Gorse. I haven't seen Evie in ages.
Why did you kill her?
I... All right, I did it.
Yeah? Why?
I was jealous. Seeing the two of you together after all we'd been to each other. Go on, laugh at me. I committed murder out of love for you. It's very funny, isn't it?
I'm very fond of you, Dreamer. My poor little Dreamer love. I'd give you anything, honey. The shirt from my back. Here. Here's a piece of it on the counter.
Oh, where'd you...
I see you're impressed. Me too. Come on, we'll go someplace where we can be alone and talk things over.
Oh, no, Gorse, please. I can explain
you
everything.
You can explain in the car on the way down to the boat. Come on.
You're hurting me. Oh, no.
Come on,
lock that door. Stupid me, I staggered to my feet and stumbled over to the door. I reached it just as Hagen's car pulled away from the curb. By the time I found a taxi, they were at least halfway to wherever they were going. I didn't know whether the boat he had mentioned was tied up at the Embarcadero, anchored in the marina, moored at Sausalito, or becalmed in Oakland. But there was a seafaring man in our town who knew about such things. My port of call was the Seahorse Bar and Grill just off ahead of Pier 16, or is it the Foot? Captain Pasali?
He is silent, son, as in Prasad.
My mistake.
Salty by name, salty by nature. Only one salty thing I can't abide. Saltwater taffy. My teeth, you know. Here, have a lifesaver.
Well, thank you, sir. You're very generous.
No, it ain't money, mate, but it's straight from the mint.
That joke wasn't.
What's up, sonny? You in the hole again? You catch my drift?
Yeah. What do you know about a yachtsman named Gorse Hagen?
Oh, nicely put, matey. If there's anything lower than a yachtsman, he's it.
Mm-hmm. Where does he keep his boat?
Well, now, she's still afloat. She'd be dragging her hook somewhere off Sausalito. Now, she's a converted P.T., you know, because of the Sea Queen.
Mm-hmm.
She had her bottom planks ripped out in the Battle of the Coral Sea, and they patched her up with plywood. Well, she's got two diesels, she has, and twin screws, 2-to-1 reduction gear.
Yeah, yeah. What's the quickest way of getting out to it?
Well, now, there's not much craft for charter here about this time of night, you know. There's that Novak fella, but just at present he's sleeping 1 hour.
Figures.
Might not be worth your while anyways.
Why not?
Well, Hagen stopped by here 20 minutes ago looking for his engineer. Said he was casting off on tide, engineer or no engineer.
And what about your boat?
My boat? Well, now, matey, on a plotted course, she'll stand up to any double-end of Monterey dory in the class.
Yeah.
Without a head sea, that is. Then, on the other hand, you put her in a bottom race. And buck and a quarter swell.
Yeah, yeah. How much? How much?
$5 an hour. And that's with you, man, in the bilge pump.
Okay, let's go.
This, here Hagen fella now. You onto the trim of his sails?
Sails on a PT boat?
Oh, not the boat, sonny. The man. Cut of his jib.
I didn't notice that, but he was wearing crepe-soled shoes.
Mm. I'll tell you about this Hagen, matey. Fella once tried to board him. A customs officer, no less. Well, sir, picked him up 4 days later in a gill net with a fish gaff stowed clean through his neck. Here, have another lifesaver. You may need it.
After he'd lashed me to my station at the bilge pump, Captain Pasali got his double-ender Monterey dory on a plotted course to Sausalito, he hoped, and we plunged recklessly into the fog. As nearly as I could catch his drift, there was a 50-50 chance that A, Hagen had found his engineer and would be halfway to the Farallone Islands before we could make it past Alcatraz if we stayed afloat that long, or B, that he hadn't found his engineer and might be having trouble starting up those two diesels with the twin screws and the 2-to-1 reduction gears, whatever they are.
Matey.
Which one?
Oh, about 5 points to port. The blue one with the high freeboard.
Uh-huh.
You get up on the foredeck, matey. The ladder's round on the landing side. I'll swing round and put you on it.
Hey! Anybody home?
He's likely below, nursing them diesels. You've got to rear back and holler, matey, like this. Ahoy!
I like that.
I know there is them.
Captain Salty, board the Lugger Crabtree. My supercargo requests permission to board, sir. Who is he?
Spade, I want to talk to you, Hagen. Captain Salty.
Drop down, you clumsy lover. Hit the scuppers.
Where'd he get you?
Don't rightly know. Hurt some midships.
Huh? Here. How do you run this thing? I got to get you to shore.
That's throttle. There's your forward gear.
Uh-huh.
No, don't pull her back all the way. She'll die. The vacuum tank.
You lie still. What are you looking for?
Jumper pocket. Lifesaver. In case you need it. I don't know more. Best winds on your after quarter, matey. Remember
that. Okay, take it easy, Captain.
Keep her balanced. Don't let your jib ruffle. Keep her on course, matey. Keep...
Hey, Captain. Captain Salty. Sour ragged. I crawled over the rail and tried to make out Hagen's silhouette on the other boat. I could just barely make out the shape of the hull against the faint glow of light from the Sausalito shore. We drifted a few yards astern of Hagen's boat, but not out of rifle range. I wondered why, if he could see us well enough to drop Captain Salty, he'd let it go at that. And I got it. He was listening. Somebody was pulling out from shore in a rowboat. I didn't waste any more time listening. I dug into Captain Salty's jumper pocket, fished out a waterproof pouch. I took a seaman's papers out of it. He didn't need them anymore. Wrapped it around my gun. Then I took off some clothes and eased myself over the side. I didn't swim for speed, but for distance. Stopping now and then to make sure the man in the boat was still covering for me. I felt my way around the hull till I found the anchor rope. Just as I grabbed it, I heard him rest his oars.
Hagen, who's that? Eddie Love. What do you want? I've come after my sister. Go on home, Eddie. She's sailing with me. That's the way she wants it.
You're lying.
Wait a second. Come on out of there, Dreamer.
What's happened?
Your brother's down there in the boat. Talk to him.
Well, what am I going
to... Talk to him.
All right. Eddie.
What's he done to you, sis?
I'm all right, Eddie. Everything's all right. Gus and I have decided... Go on home, Eddie.
He's lying to you. He knows you framed him. If you sail out with him, you won't come back.
No, Eddie.
I'm coming aboard.
Eddie, no. God, please. No, Eddie.
What? Drop it, Hagen.
No.
Drop the rifle.
I'll drop you. You're lousy, shameless.
Sam, did he hurt you?
No, I've been kicked in the stomach before. It takes a woman to kick you in the teeth.
I'm sorry.
I don't care what you did. What burns me up, you didn't do it right. I hate a bungler, especially a female bungler.
I'm a bungler. You're the one. It would have worked if you hadn't gone poking in the incinerator. I should have called the police. They'd have known what to do with evidence like that. They've been wanting to get something on Gorse ever since repeal.
Listen, Angel, any flatfoot could have seen through that setup. Eve Adams was sitting in front of a mirror when she was maced. She saw the murderer enter the room. She got it in the back of the head. That means she trusted whoever walked up behind her. That also means the evidence of a struggle was faked.
Put the nail polish on Gorse's shirt.
You put that nail polish on her fingers after she was dead, laid that trail to the incinerator with a pair of Gorse's shoes where any flatfoot was supposed to think he'd try to destroy the incriminating shirt. But the dumbest thing you did was lying to me about that matching lipstick you dropped in my office. That made you look guiltier than anybody because anybody could have planted that fake evidence.
I didn't kill her. I'm not a murderer.
Your brother might have got off easy. Crime of passion.
Oh, please, please don't say that. I can't bear the thought that after everything I did, it's all come to nothing.
Here. Have a lifesaver. You may need it. Period. And a report.
Oh, Sam. Poor Captain Pasolti.
P is silent. F is in Passam. Go type that up.
All right, Sam.
Last one in the package.
And now, listen to this. If you want the well-groomed look that helps out, listen. Recently, thousands of people from coast to coast who bought Wild Root Cream Oil for the first time were asked, how does Wild Root Cream Oil compare with the hair tonic you previously used? The results were amazing. Better than 4 out of 5 who replied said they preferred Wild Root Cream Oil. Remember, non-alcoholic Wild Root Cream Oil contains lanolin. It grooms the hair naturally, relieves dryness, and removes loose, ugly dandruff. So if you want your hair to be more attractive than ever before, get the generous new 25-cent size of Wild Root Cream Oil, America's leading hair tonic, on sale at all drug and toilet goods counters. It's also available in larger economy bottles and the handy new tube. By the way, smart girls use Wild Root Cream Oil, too, and mothers say it's grand for training children's hair. Get Wild Root Cream Oil. Again and again, the choice of men and women and children, too.
What stopped you?
The last page of my notebook going to our shortage of supplies, Sam. But in a way, I'm glad. Because I didn't have to go through it again. I mean, poor Captain Pasolti.
F, please. Please, now, honest, I'll buy you a new notebook, a nice fat one. Would you like that?
Oh, yes, Sam. There's always something so final about final pages of things. When I think of all the risks you take...
To say nothing of my clients. I think I'll put a new sign on the door. Abandon hope, all ye who enter here.
Oh, but I haven't, Sam. Where there's a will, there's a wisp.
There's a what?
A wisp, Sam. Small amount.
Which reminds me, there's a couple of fingers left. Join me, just a wisp?
Oh, no, Sam. One of us has got to have a clear head.
Well, it'll be me.
All the best. Good night, Sam.
Good night, sweetheart.
Adventures of Sam Spade, Dashiell Hammett's famous private detective, are produced and directed by William Spear. Sam Spade is played by Howard Duff. Loreen Tuttle is Effie. Howard Duff can now be seen starring with Yvonne DiCarlo in Universal International's Technicolor production of Calamity Jane and Sam Bass. Adventures of Sam Spade are written for radio by Bob Tallman and Gil Dowd. Musical direction by Lud Gluskin, with score composed by Renee and Pierre Garrigang. Join us again next Sunday when author Dashiell Hammett and producer William Spear join forces for another adventure with Sam Spade. Brought to you by Wild Root Cream Oil. Again and again, the choice of men and women and children too. This is CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System.
I hope you enjoyed that mystery. You're listening to the Adventures of Sam Spade Detective episode, The Apple of Eve Caper. The story was first heard on the evening of Sunday, June 19, 1949, on CBS. My first experience with the Sam Spade character was in university, when I had to read The Maltese Falcon for detective fiction course at the University of Northern BC. I enjoyed both the novel and film. I hope the radio series brought you that same level of enjoyment. I'm afraid our time together this week is almost up, but join me next week as we gather again around the old part of the radio. If you'd like to request your favorite old-time radio episode series, please email me at Corey, C-O-R-E-Y, at CFISFM.com, or write me at Old Part of the Radio, 2880 15th Avenue, Prince George, B.C., Canada, Victor 2 Mike, 1 Tango 1. From the CFIS studios in Prince George, I'm Corey Walker. Have a great week. Thank you.